When I was in college, me and my best mate, who I'll call John for privacy, hung out pretty much every day. We were also roommates, so it was nice. Both of us together were definitely not the smartest though, not in an intelligence kind of way, but in a make a lot of bad impulsive decisions kind of way. We always just got caught up doing something stupid, like checking out abandoned houses or doing whatever dangerous, often illegal stunts we could pull off, like climbing up water towers, for example. Just stupid crap like that. This night, we had the idea to do something arguably a lot less dangerous and crazy in comparison to our other adventures. We thought it'd be cool to check out the woods at the back of our town in the middle of the night. Maybe we'd get an adrenaline pump or something. Now, for reference, the woods surrounded every side of our small town, but the reason we wanted to check out the woods at the back of the town was because that's where nobody goes. Not most normal people, anyway. Even me and John had never been there before. A huge portion of the town on that side was abandoned due to a big fire from decades ago, and because there's nothing else over there, the woods on that side were kind of abandoned too. No trails or anything. We packed up some flashlights and headed out there. It was a 30-minute walk from the campus to the back of town, and 10 more minutes through the burnt sections to get to the forest. With the coast clear, we took out our flashlights and headed into the trees. Just a couple minutes in, the lights from the town were completely gone, and it was just the faint moonlight and our small flashlights to lead us through the woods. Honestly, it didn't feel all that special for the first 20 or so minutes. After the initial spooky feeling of entering a dark forest at night wore off, it was quiet, and there wasn't all that much to see. Just trees and more trees. No abandoned structures or weird signs of anything. That was until, completely out of the blue, John noticed something in the distance. A light carving through the darkness between all the trees up ahead. It was for sure a flashlight, not a flickering campfire or anything natural. And strangely, it was low, like on the ground. We walked up closer and closer, realizing that's exactly what it was. A flashlight, just left there sitting on the ground, with nobody nearby. Nothing else was there either, like any signs of a campsite. Considering it was a regular electric flashlight, someone had to have had hold of it recently, definitely that night. Otherwise, it would have run out of batteries by now. Neither of us could see how someone would forget a flashlight, though, or drop it and not notice, because it was quite literally a light in an otherwise pitch-black forest, which then led us to conclude someone likely dropped it while running. And if they didn't come back to pick it up, they must have been running from something. I felt a chill run through me, which should have been our sign to get out of there. But that little bit of adrenaline creeping into our veins as we shined our lights around was kind of what we were looking for. We decided it would be best just to leave the light though, just in case it wasn't what we thought it was, and someone was gonna come back for it. I led the way deeper into the woods, while John followed close behind. Both of us now wanted to see what else we could find out there, sort of hoping to piece together the full story behind that really odd find. Not even 2 minutes after leaving the area the light was in, there was a sudden crack behind us. It was several, like 3 or 4 sticks cracking in succession, somewhere just 20 or 30 feet behind where John was standing. We both whipped around and looked, but saw nothing. Definitely kept our nerves up, though. We walked another 5 minutes before suddenly hearing that same sort of sound, again from just behind John. I swore it sounded like someone quickly running along the forest floor, but again, we saw nothing at all. However, after that second time, both of us were seriously creeped out, more than the typical exciting adrenaline rush we were hoping for. This was actual fear, like we were in real danger this time. It's crazy, because we both thought this was so much less of a stunt compared to our usual stuff. I mean, what were the chances of actually running into someone in the woods in the middle of the night, especially in this part of the woods? We still didn't have 100% certainty that it was a person that we kept hearing, but it damn well sounded like it. It must have happened 5 or 6 times before we heard it again and turned around, and just slightly saw a shadow move out of the light and behind a tree. John must have seen it too, because we both froze up and stood there, staring behind us for a lot longer than we did all the other times. In just 10 seconds later, we saw a figure move his head, slightly peering around the tree at us. We both immediately booked it, running to the side and then turning back the way we came from. I'd say we sprinted through the trees for 5 minutes straight, before slowing down to catch our breaths. We then walked with our flashlights on the dim setting, all the way back to town. Oddly, we both realized we never saw the flashlight on our way back. Someone, maybe that guy, must have picked it up and turned it off. We walked back to campus and just couldn't believe what happened. Who was stalking us out in the backwoods at night? Just didn't make any sense. Now, neither of us can confirm this had anything to do with what we experienced. But a few days later, the town got word of a missing person last seen heading toward the back of town. There's no saying if they went missing back there, or in the woods, or if they possibly had something happen related to what we experienced. I guess it's just the thought of what we might have stumbled upon in those woods that I find so disturbing. Had we let the strange man continue stalking us? Or had we continued even deeper into the forest, I don't know what we would have found, or if we would have made it back. A few years ago, I moved from the far west coast, about 1,000 miles inland. The drive was through the northern part of the US, so not your main highways that everyone takes through the country. These were much less used, and unless you're going to all the main cities, to get where you're going, you probably have to take several side roads. It was a scenic drive at least. But after making it back and forth multiple times, its effect sort of wore off. This was on my last time making the drive, with the final leftovers from the move stuffed away in my trunk. I did a whole day of driving, making it to a small town and taking a nap around 6 p.m. I woke up at 9 p.m. and continued on the road. However, I made it just an hour out of town, when my car started acting up. A bunch of maintenance lights turned on, and the whole steering system felt off. It only got worse over the next 5 minutes, so bad I knew I couldn't drive it. I pulled off the road and onto the gravel shoulder. Almost felt like some stupid joke that this had to happen as far as possible in between towns. From having taken this drive several times before, I knew there weren't any towns for an hour in each direction. No service out there either, just woods in all directions, and not a soul on the road. I slumped back in my seat and just took a moment, then got out and looked around my car. I knew absolutely nothing about cars, but I don't know, I guess I was hoping there was something obviously wrong. However, there wasn't. The piece of junk probably just ran its course. Have to say, once I was outside for a couple minutes, I started to notice this road was creepy as hell. Dim, spread out streetlights and trees going out what seemed like infinitely. It was also dead silent. Ironically, I actually remember thinking that it felt like I was in a horror movie. But anyway, I understood that my only chance here was to get someone to stop and help, whether that was giving me a lift to the next gas station or whatever. So I stood out there, leaning up against my car, and waited for someone to pass by. It surprised me that after 15 minutes, not only did a car come down the road, but they also stopped for me. He pulled up right next to me and rolled down his window. The guy looked mid-30s, smoking a cig and sort of inspecting me for a couple seconds before asking if I was okay. To be fair, it made sense for him to be skeptical of picking up some random person on the side of the road. I told him about my car situation. He took another few seconds to think. As he did, he kept checking his mirrors, and maybe it was just a gut feeling of mine, but something felt real off about this guy. This wasn't exactly the time to be picky about who helps me, but all the alarms in my head were going off to not get in the car with him.
"Well, why don't you hop in? I'll give you a lift to the next town. I wouldn't mind helping a folk out tonight."
I paused for a second, not sure how to reject his offer.
I've actually got a buddy on his way. Should be just a few minutes out. Sorry, I should have mentioned that."
The guy nodded and gave a not-so-friendly smirk, then quickly pulled away and vanished down the road. That reaction was all I needed to know I made the right decision. However, that was the last car to come by for the entire hour, maybe longer. I didn't think I was on that desolate of a road, but I guess I was, and it being the middle of the night didn't help. I was practically falling asleep against the side of my car when headlights came down the road, this time from the direction I was headed in. I waved to get their attention, and they slowed and pulled up to me. Oddly, the car looked familiar, like the same one that had stopped by an hour ago, although I didn't really look at it too hard, so it could have been just any other dark black sedan. They all looked the same to me anyway. Plus, when they rolled down their window, it was a woman driving. She looked like maybe late 20s. Right away, she asked if I needed help, though it felt strange. She had a nervous smile, like she almost didn't want to be offering help. I told her I just needed a ride to anywhere. Gas station, town, whatever. She nodded and unlocked the passenger door. I wasn't about to pass up another offer, so I got in. Right away, the vibes felt off, in a disturbing way. She didn't say anything and just stared forward at the road with wide eyes.
"Thank you for picking me up. I don't know what I'd do if you didn't,"
I said, trying to make conversation. She never even asked what happened to my car or why I was stranded. She didn't respond either, still staring forward at the road. Something was really strange about her, but I couldn't quite pinpoint what it was. So I sat back and tried to rest a little while we drove down the road in silence. This went on for around 20 minutes, when I noticed a sign for a gas station 2 miles ahead. I felt relieved and let her know she could drop me off when we got there. She didn't look at me, just doing a short nod and keeping a straight face. Now that we were getting close, though, I figured I'd ask her if everything was okay. The woman glanced at me, then back forward. Her eyes, they looked almost like she was scared. It sort of freaked me out. And just then, I saw something move in the corner of my eye. I looked and saw the mirror. Whatever I saw move had been in the rear view mirror. So naturally, I looked back. My heart instantly dropped. The back seat was dark, and a figure was sitting right behind my seat, sort of hunched over like he was keeping out of view. As soon as I looked at him, though, he sat up straight, and I could just make out that it was the same guy that stopped on the road earlier, the one I refused a ride from. And he looked furious. I quickly looked forward and saw the gas station up ahead, telling the woman to pull in and drop me off immediately. But she wasn't slowing down. She was going to pass it. And that's when I realized what was going on. This woman was a victim too, probably being forced by the man in the back seat to pick me up from the road and keep driving to wherever the hell he wanted to take us. I started trying to convince her to turn off at the gas station, but the man yelled over me, threatening me to shut up and telling her to keep driving. We approached the turnoff, still going at least 50, but completely catching me off guard, she suddenly and sharply turned in, slamming on the brakes just before hitting the gas pumps. Instantly, she bailed from the vehicle, which was my cue to go as well. Both of us bolted for the gas station doors. When we got in, she told the night clerk to call the cops, while I watched as the man got in the front seat and sped away. Long story short, it was exactly what I thought had happened. Both me and the woman were victims of that creepy guy, presumably kidnapping us. Honestly, I'm really thankful she had the courage to go against the man's threats and pull into the gas station anyway. She could have very easily done what the guy said and kept driving, and I don't know what would have happened then. Thankfully, I don't have to know. I work at a small 24/7 diner off the side of the highway. Nothing glamorous at all. The owner was my good friend, and I needed something just to help me get by for a while. It also was way better than working at a regular diner, because this place was never busy. At least, not all at once. It was just a pull off from the highway, where usually truckers or people on road trips would stop by to grab a coffee or a quick meal before hitting the road again, which made for interesting customers too. But because I worked overnight, it was usually real quiet, and this night was no exception. Only two or three customers stopped by for a quick cup of joe, then left to hit the road again. Afterward, there was a whole hour of nothing. I just sat by the windows and looked out at the empty highway, thinking about whatever. Eventually, I think around 1 a.m, a truck pulled into the parking lot, so I went around the counter and greeted the two men as they walked in. Both of them looked beat from a long drive and ordered the same as everyone else that night, two regular black coffees to go. After ordering, one went to the restroom and the other sat at the bar while I made their drinks.
Hey, I got a weird question. You aren't alone here, are you?
That question immediately made me hesitate for a second. I couldn't tell what he was trying to get at. I decided to just be truthful though, as he didn't seem to have any alternative intention.
Yeah, just me for tonight. It's been slow, so I don't mind it.
He looked almost confused for a second, like he didn't expect that answer, or was maybe hoping that wasn't my answer.
Well, just be careful. Saw some guy at the side of the building as we drove in. Looked like he was up to no good, but I don't know. I thought he might have worked here. That's why I asked.
I thanked him for letting me know, and by then the other guy came out of the restroom. I gave them both their coffees, and they headed out, pulling back onto the highway. After they left, I went back up to the window and looked out at both sides of the parking area, but it was all empty. Also, I had been watching outside all night. I would have seen if someone else had come into the parking lot, and we only had parking in the front, so their car would be out there. The guy didn't feel like he was lying though, and after a minute, curiosity got the better of me. I went outside and looked around the building. Didn't see anyone, so I walked around the entire place. There was nothing. It did feel a little bit creepy out there, with the dark woods surrounding the building, so I didn't test my luck. I went back inside. Surely the trucker just thought he saw something that wasn't actually there. I mean, he did look tired, and obviously he meant no harm by it. I kept my eyes open from that point forward though. The diner stayed dead. No customers, and really not many cars passing by on the highway either. Made for a real slow night. I did some of the dishes and swept up around the floor, then took a break and went to the restroom for a minute. I was on my phone, so I was definitely taking my time. But at some point while I was in there, I heard a door open. I quickly finished up and headed back to the floor.
"Welcome in,"
I said in my typical enthusiastic customer service voice as I walked out to the diner, but immediately stopped in my tracks when I looked up. Nobody was at any of the seats. After a second, I nervously walked around the floor, but still, there was nobody inside. I knew without a doubt I'd heard the door open. Obviously, it was a sound I was very familiar with. I went over and pushed it open, looking around outside as well. No cars. I tested the door a couple of times, and it definitely wasn't flimsy, like it wouldn't fly open on its own. And it wasn't even windy out. I felt my stomach tighten. Couldn't help but think about that trucker saying someone was creeping around by the building. Maybe there really was someone. I quickly tried to shut my mind off from getting too paranoid and decided to finish up the dishes. Surely I was just scaring myself, I thought. I stayed there behind the counter and scrubbed all the leftover dishes from the earlier shifts. Through the clanking of all the dishware, I suddenly heard something else. It sounded like something moving. I quickly turned off the water and put down the plate I was cleaning. I heard it again. Before I could get around the corner to go check out what it was, a man came around the corner. He walked from the back room. This guy looked 40, with a grayish beard and medium, messy hair. He wore a navy blue, disheveled hoodie. He smiled and sat down at the bar seat, while I just stood there, stunned and unsure how or what he was doing back there. Of course, I wanted to ask, but I was scared what answer I might get.
"I'll have a coffee, please,"
the guy suddenly said, breaking the silence. I nodded and reluctantly started brewing it. I could feel his eyes burning into the back of my head as I faced away from the counter. I just hoped if I got him what he wanted, he would leave. I handed him his drink, and he smiled.
"Just you here, huh? I bet it gets lonely. Doesn't seem like many people come around here at this time of night." Sometimes, I guess. But it's not too bad."
I really hated every second of this guy being here, but he just kept talking.
"How long they make you work overnight for? 3, 4 a.m.?
I told him my shifts change around a lot, not wanting to give him any ideas of what my schedule was. Finally, he stood up and thanked me, giving another creepy smile as he walked out. I watched as he went up to the road, never getting into any car, and just walking until I couldn't see him anymore. My heart was still racing. Something about him was off, in a really creepy, unsettling way. I kept my eyes glued to the windows for the next 15 minutes. I guess it was just how little I knew about what was going on that made the whole thing so unsettling. Was this the guy the trucker was talking about? Or was it someone else? If it was, then that would mean he'd been around the building for the last few hours, which would be just even more creepy. I really didn't want to go back to cleaning the dishes, or doing anything for that matter, as I felt really uncomfortable every time I had my back to the doors. But then, as I was still staring at the empty highway, I heard that same sound that I'd heard while in the restroom earlier. A door opening. But being in the main room, I knew it wasn't the front door. It was the side access door, like for going out to the dumpster. I hurried around the counter and looked into the hallway. It was dark back there, but one of the closet doors was moving back and forth, like someone had just gone through it. I instantly ran outside, got in my car, and got onto the highway, calling the police as I drove away. When the cops got there, surprisingly, the guy was still there, hiding in the closet. Same guy that came in and creeped me out. But that was far from the most disturbing thing they found. The guy had rope with him, and with a little more searching around, they found a stash partially dug up in the forest behind the diner. In it was basically a bunch of gear for doing, let's just say, horrible things. I guess he was eyeing the diner and eventually came in to be sure I was alone, before going back to the woods to get his stuff, so he could quickly grab me and drag me into the woods where the rest of his gear was. Thankfully, he's locked up for a long time now. Thank you.